Live from Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub in downtown St. Paul, that's where we're doing our podcast recording today with the hockey voice that everybody knows and loves, Mr. Bob Kurtz. We'll talk about the Minnesota Wild season, their upcoming season, and if Bob Kurtz is going to be back for another season with the Minnesota Wild. All of that and more in episode 77, presented by SodaStick, brought to you by Jim Beam, Better Edge, and State Farm Insurance agent Tony Hoagland. This is episode 77.
Who is living that McGolden Light lake life? Check out SodaStick.com for the perfect Minnesota summer collab. Plus, dollar bill krill tees, a restocked Master's hat, and so much more, including your favorite Bardown Beauties merch. Use Bardown Beauties at checkout for free shipping on all purchases at SodaStick.com.
At Jim Beam, they know the importance of tradition, like chanting Let's Play Hockey prior to the start of each game, or playing the State of Hockey anthem after a Wild win. This season, raise one to your fan family with the bourbon that invites us all to come as friends and leave as family. Jim Beam Bourbon Whiskey, the official bourbon whiskey partner of the Minnesota Wild and XL Energy Center. Remember, drink smart. Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume, copyright 2021, James B. Beam Distilling Company, Incorporated, Claremont, Kentucky.
Hello, everybody. We back. We are live and in person recording, you guys. This is not via Zoom. Raise the roof. We don't have a studio, but Tom Reed seems like a very good backdrop for any hockey-related podcast or just any podcast in general. We love Tom Reed's. We love Tom for letting us use his space. So certainly excited to be here, excited to be in person.
Yeah.
As Alexis had said, Bob Kurtz joins us. We're going to dive into what he made of the Minnesota Wild this year, as well as what are his future plans. So be sure you stay tuned for that. But Alexis, let's just revel in the fact that things are starting to feel more normal and we're kind of hanging out in person again.
Yeah, Bob Kurtz had the honor of like the first in-person guest photo in like over a year, so that was pretty exciting. We're back at Tom Reed's where, what was it, episode 2 or 3 that we recorded with Kevin Gorg here.
Yeah.
Our first time that we did it kind of in a big setting like this, and that was really cool. So now we're back with someone just as cool as Kevin Gorg, Bob Kurtz, and always fun talking with him. He knows so much. He's been doing this for so long that it's just fun to get to hear what he has to say about everything.
I mean, you get to see the nice backdrop for our YouTube viewers.
I kind of wanted Tom's pants on the wall to be in the background, but maybe next time.
If you guys haven't seen him, be sure to come to the back room, check out Tom's pants. You'll understand everything.
Who was the last guest that we did in person?
Person?
Who was the last guest we did in person?
Because that was like episode 7.
No, so yeah, you're right.
Lou Nanny. It was Lou Nanny.
Was that Lou Nanny's house?
Lou Nanny's house, which is basically a museum if you ever get the chance to go to Lou Nanny's house, which I don't know.
I was shocked that we had the chance to go to Lou Nanny's house. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, because that was like the week before. Oh, no. The last one we did in person was not Lou Nanny. It was at the XL Energy Center for the state tournament.
Oh, Connor Beaupre.
Yep. That was the last one. Cause that was the week. That was the last thing I think we did in person together.
Last game or anything.
Yeah. So that was the morning of one of the days of the tournament. We did that up in the press box with him. So, but Lou Nanny, I think, was the week before that. So last hurrah before everything got shut down
Just
for a
pick
year.
Pick up those names off the ground that we're dropping. Be sure to go check out those episodes. That should be great.
They were 2 good episodes.
They were. Yeah. I mean, we do have a little bit of hockey again, as we had mentioned in last week's episode. Our off-season content is going to look a little different. We don't want to force feed you guys hockey content that's not necessarily there. So we want to talk to guys like Bob Kurtz, like the Hendrickson Foundation, like Jason Berger of Minnesota Wild Blonde Hockey, and really just kind of take a different dive. So we'll still use this part to catch up a little bit. I mean, the Stanley Cup's still going on.
I tuned out after the Wild loss.
I think we all did. Let's all be honest. However, can we talk about Vegas and Colorado? Because I am still a little like, wow, Vegas made it a series. Not what I expected.
I was literally living my best life after game one when Colorado beat them like 7-2. I was like, this is the best thing that's ever happened. I loved when they made the decision to put Robin Leonard in it. I'm like, this is going to be a disaster and it's going to be so funny. And it was a disaster and it was so funny. Every time I was looking at the score, I'm like, oh, they scored again. This is great. This is awesome. And I thought that when this series came about that the Colorado Avalanche were going to win in 5 games. I figured that the Golden Knights would pick up a win early on in the series in the first couple games. And then I just figured that Colorado would would kind of dominate. Like, I didn't even think it was going to be that close. Like, I seriously thought it was going to be a domination by Colorado. And Vegas has stuck with it. Credit to them. Obviously, we'll see where the rest of the series goes as it's tied up at 2 apiece here. But I really do think Colorado's the better team. I mean, I think it's kind of hard to argue that in a sense. And everybody said that the road to the Stanley Cup is going to go through Colorado. So if the Golden Knights find a way to come out of the series on top, I will genuinely be surprised. And I'm not saying that to be shady. Like, it would actually surprise me. But they've got to tie it too, and kind of back to ground zero, I guess. For
them. I mean, it's crazy. Like you said, after that first game of the Colorado-Vegas series, I was like, oh, yeah, this is Colorado being Colorado. Like, good. Glad the Wild aren't playing. No, I'm getting embarrassed. Glad it's Vegas. But, you know, I lost my first bet on BetterEdge.com.
That's BetterEdge. Fred, give us the womp womp. Yeah, there it is.
Truly, I did. I bet on Colorado winning game four because I was like, oh, there's no way they let this go on. Then they lose 5-1. And I'm like, oh, my. Holy crap, what is this?
Yeah.
So, you know, certainly love Better Edge. Be sure to give them a look. Use code BEAUTS, B-E-A-U-T-S, for a free $10. Please ignore round two of Beat the Butte, although I just wanted everybody to have fun, everyone that has finished ahead of me. This is a completely different series. Nobody's scoring, and then they're scoring a lot. It's a little ridiculous. So, been very fun. So, again, shout out to Better Edge, BETTOREdge.com. Fred, it looked like you had a thought on the Colorado-Vegas game.
Yeah, my thought is that we're recording this on a Monday, and this is going to be released a full week later.
That's fine.
Come on.
We're being bold. We're being brash.
Yeah. Let's just release it tomorrow. Yeah. Chaos.
Chaos.
No, yeah, we'll see. They know we're recording on a Monday, guys. I guess we probably should have told them. Not our normal Friday.
It's off-season, baby. This is the kind of madness that you guys get. Because we like cabins, and we like Fridays off, let's be honest. Yeah. You know what? We're the bosses. We're the bosses, baby.
And
we get to do that.
Having Bob Kurtz on, he calls the shots, and he's like, make it Monday. And we were like, all right, Bob, anything
make
for
it
you.
Monday. Yeah.
He's in charge.
Exactly. Speaking of Bob Kurtz, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, he will join us to talk a little bit more about the Wild season and his retirement? Not retirement?
Question mark,
who
question
knows?
Mark?
Find out.
Someone answer the phone.
We'll be right back.
It might be the off season, but that doesn't mean you can't still shop Bardon Beauty's apparel. Get yourself a tank to add to your summer wardrobe or a Bardon Beauty sticker to slap on your water bottle to stay hydrated in the summer heat. Whatever you want, we've got it. All at our Bardon Beauty's Teespring store.
We're back. Joining us now, the legend, the voice of the Minnesota Wild, hopefully for a very, very long time, if we can get that news.
10, 15 minutes anyway.
Mr. Bob Kurtz. Bob, how the heck is it going? It's been forever since we've seen you.
It's been going actually pretty well, especially the last week. It's been off, and the weather has been absolutely fantastic. I was just asking you before we started doing this, you know, what a strange, strange year it was.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, tell us
about
that.
In some ways, decent. In some ways, you know, it was difficult.
I mean, you had to deal a lot with fallness, which is
very difficult.
That's the same, though. That's always been that way, right?
Yeah, that's the difficult, is dealing with fallness. But really, doing the actual games, I didn't really find it that difficult.
Was it nice to have the actual games to do again? I mean, now that you're back at the rink instead of just doing it remotely like you did
last
year.
Especially now as I sit here and I look back, there were times during the winter where it got awfully long because there was an awful lot of games crammed into a very short period of time, and the weather was cold, and you know, you think, will this season ever end? Yeah. You kept playing the same seven teams over and over again. But as you look back on it, I don't know what I would have done during COVID if I hadn't had that to get out of the house and do.
Right. Did you like facing the same teams? Like, for me personally, at least from a writing perspective, because then I knew the guys, I kind of knew how to preview the series. Did you like the way that that was set up? And
yeah, I loved it. Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, now this is long before you, and when Tom was a kid, there were only six teams in the National Hockey League. I grew up in the city of Detroit, so we had one of the six, and the teams used to play 14 times apiece. Seven home, seven road, and it added up to 70 games.
Yeah.
And you knew everybody. That was the advantage of that. Mm-hmm. You knew everybody in the league.
Right.
Because the same teams would come in, you know, year after year after year. Now, this was just a one and done, supposedly. But
you don't have to memorize a whole bunch of new names and figure out new pronunciations.
No, and you also don't have to. I mean, not that you don't follow the really good teams, but you also don't have to worry about too many teams, you know, in the other divisions.
Right. No kidding.
So, I mean, in that way, it was fairly easy. What made it difficult was the sheer amount of games.
Yeah, and crammed into
it was like 56 games crammed into, like, I think it was 82 days or something like that to start the year. Mm-hmm. And then there were, there was the COVID problem. Yeah. So they took the games that were, you know, postponed and just jammed them basically back into the schedule, which kept everybody rather busy.
I think we had 8 home games in 10 days, right?
It seemed it was just game after game after game.
Yeah.
How did you prepare differently for a season like this, knowing that, you know, some of it would be done remotely and, you know, you're playing these same teams over and over again. You touched on that a little bit, but how was your preparation as a broadcaster a little bit different this year?
It was just easy. I mean, because everything is available to you. I mean, if you want to watch the Zoom afterwards, you can. Yeah. If you don't want to watch it, basically you can read it online as to what they said. Did they have anything to say or didn't he? Usually they don't, you know, and it's pretty much the same stuff. And, you know, you've just there were seven teams that came in, and it was easy to keep up.
Right. Were you surprised as to where the Wild finished this year? I mean, I know a lot of people, there's a lot of talk about exceeding maybe expectations, but yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised at where they finished so much, although I picked them for fourth. I thought St. Louis was better than, and I still think St. Louis is better than
right.
They were. But it, because of the way the division was set up, you don't know how good they are. Mm-hmm. And even now that you look back, you don't know how good they are.
Yeah.
Now everybody's starting to wonder how good was Toronto, you know, how good was Winnipeg, you know, you don't know.
Mm-hmm. It's very, yeah, you get such a small sample size against the same teams, and you kind of knew LA, Anaheim, San Jose probably weren't going to be that great, right? But I think the Wild team certainly, in my opinion, did exceed my expectations just ever so slightly, but also I think kind of fell where we thought they might too, because you look at the Vegas and Colorado series, and I don't know that they would keep up with either of those teams.
No, they were more competitive against Vegas than I thought they mm-hmm. were. I mean, I don't know whether they, you know, exceeded your my expectations or just made more noise in the market
sure.
than I thought they were going to make.
Right.
Well, and a big reason they made noise in the market was because of Kirill Kaprizov. You've mm-hmm. been with this Wild team a long time. You've seen a lot of players come through this organization. Is he the best player the Wild have ever seen, better than Marian Gaborik?
I don't know that I say he's better than Gaborik yet, because he's only done it mm-hmm. for like a half a season. But he definitely gives you optimism when you look back over the past, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6. You know, as you go back and look at various Wild teams, I'm not so sure they're that much better than they've been. But the difference is they now have a Kaprizov where before they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Now they had Fiala too, but Fiala to me has been here. He's been mm-hmm. there. You're never quite sure what he's going to get, and that seems to be the case again this year. But Kaprizov, I think, is the real deal. Now whether he's, you know, Ovechkin like
yes.
and heading in that direction, we'll have to wait and see.
I mean, they're both Russian. He's got it. It's got to yeah. be in their blood, right? I mean,
exactly.
It's, I'm sure. No, I would you say he definitely was kind of the turning point maybe to success for this Minnesota Wild team? I mean, it seemed like he
was the turning point to talking success.
Yes.
I don't know whether, you know, I don't know how it's going to translate out yet, because I mean,
right.
obviously in the playoffs, you know, Vegas was able to shut him down.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he's, you know, he does give you a reason to go to the games, and talked about this before. The difference between him and Gaborik, at least until the playoffs, is Gaborik had periods where he would disappear,
mm-hmm.
and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, there was Gaborik, bang, the puck's in the net, and he changed the course of the game. Kaprizov can do the same thing, but Kaprizov does it on a more consistent night-in, night-out basis.
Right. Do you think that that's obviously going to be maybe a priority of Bill Guerin to help get some players that can support him? I mean, he had great chemistry with Matt Zuccarello. Obviously, Victor Rask slotted in there too, but I don't know how much Victor Rask can really help a player like them. Do you think that should be a main kind of component for Bill heading into the offseason?
I'm sure it is. I'm sure he's out looking for a center. I mean, they've got to get more skill up front for the top six.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that line of Foligno and Greenway and Eriksson-Ek is spectacular as a third line.
Yeah.
Eriksson-Ek probably could move up a little bit, but the other guy, I mean, that's a good, solid, very, very good NHL third line.
Right. What did you think of Nico Sturm? He's a young guy.
He's good. Okay. I mean, yeah, he was flying all over the place.
Yeah.
I like him.
You like him?
But, I mean, again, it's a fourth-line situation, and sure. they've had that in the past. What was it a couple of years ago where we were talking about Eric Fehr, how good, how great he was?
Wow, throwback.
I mean, well, I'm saying that you could, if you go back and read a lot of the articles, especially yeah. the training camp articles, all you do is change the names.
Pretty much. That sounds about right.
Now, what did you think about a guy like Cam Talbot, who coming into the season, a lot of people compared him to Devan Dubnyk, who the Wild had just gotten rid of, and people were a little skeptical. Can he get the job done? I think at least in the playoffs, he proved his worth, and throughout the season was a big reason for their success as well. What do you think about him and just the Wild's goalie tandem as well with the rookie backup there?
I like Talbot because he's, you know, he does it. He does it efficiently, and he does it quietly. What's interesting about him is he proves that old adage. I worked with a coach in Milwaukee, the old Milwaukee Admirals, Gene Ubriaco, who used to say, goaltending is, pick a figure, 40%, 50%, 60% of the game, unless it's bad goaltending, in which case it's 100% because you are going to lose. And that's basically, I mean, I'm serious.
Yeah.
I mean, if you go back and look, Talbot cleaned up a lot of messes. Because Minnesota has very good defense, very fluid, very, very in motion defense in front. They, you know, they get the puck out of the zone quickly. That top four defensively is very good. And actually, they were really good all the way down to, you know, defensemen five and six. And, you know, Talbot didn't have to work real hard a lot of nights, but, you know, he handled what he had to handle, cleaned it up, and that's a lot of the reason that they finished as high as they did.
Right. What about Kapo then on the other side? I mean, he came in when Cam was hurt or was out with COVID.
He was good early and then not so good late.
And then he was a rookie goaltender, right? I think it reminded us all a little bit back down to earth that he's a rook. He doesn't, he's not used to it.
So, you know, that's why you wait and see. It'll be interesting next year if they play the full 82 and you get the full training camp. And if you get the full schedule again, I guess that's sort of in doubt too.
The big point of contention and big question that I think I know I have going in, who does Bill Guerin protect with the expansion draft? Do you protect a guy like Cam Talbot, who you know is your number one, or do you protect Kapo, who Seattle might really quickly scoop up? What do you think that scenario looks like?
That's why we're here and he's there.
You don't envy his position
no,
at
I
all?
Don't.
No. I think
I mean, you're going to lose somebody.
Right.
Yeah. You know, everybody is.
Yeah.
Some more, I guess, more so than others.
Well, you mentioned going back to the normal schedule next season. How do you think this Minnesota Wild team is going to translate into a full schedule, more teams? How are they going to play in that kind of situation?
Well, that's going to be the interesting situation because if you had that this year, for example, you remember you had the wild card. So what happens is you get a variety of teams going after those last wild card positions. This year, that wasn't the case. All of a sudden, when they looked like they were going to nail down fourth or even then move up to third, it's it. They're in the playoffs.
Right.
Next year, you won't have that.
No.
And, of course, you don't know how good the other ones are either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You won't have the softy Canadian grouping up there, too.
How soft that was, you know, we'll find out. There was Chuck Fletcher had a press conference in Philadelphia where he was saying, and I agree with it, you know, because he had some problems with his young players. A lot of his young players did not have a particularly good year.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying, you know, I don't know that you make major decisions based on this season because this season very well could have been an aberration.
Yeah.
And in many ways was.
Yeah. No, I would completely agree with that. So we have to ask the big question, the elephant in the room, the elephant in Tom Reed's, which Tom, exactly. Shout out to Tom Reed's for letting us come here. Obviously, come check it out. We love TRs. You guys do too. What are your thoughts for your own personal career heading into next season? I know every year it's kind of up in the air for you.
Well, not every year, but it's been the last couple. I still don't really know. I mean, I'm leaning, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to sit down and talk with the Wild yet. I have a contract that runs until June 30th.
Okay.
And just go from there.
Is it almost like a player when they mull their retirement? Because it's been such a part of
your
life.
No, it's different for us because we can do it part. If I can do it part-time, it makes a big difference.
Yeah.
The load was a little heavy the last couple of years. We'll see what happens from here. And to be fair to them, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, usually, generally speaking, you want continuity and you want the same person basically available for every game.
Right.
Well, that wouldn't be me, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just I just don't want to do every single one. You want to do some other things.
Yeah, have a life. You mean
you know,
outside
it's not
of
that,
yeah.
I love doing the games. When John DeCosmaker finishes the anthem and you actually start the game, that's when it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes the in between's a little difficult.
Yeah.
Well, talking about continuity, you and Mr. Tom Reed have been doing this together a long time, and I think
longer than you've been alive.
That's true. I think one of the things that people love about you guys as a tandem is just your chemistry that you have, and listening to you two talk on the radio and the way that you guys analyze games is so fun. You've got great chemistry going on. What is it like working with a guy like Tom, and how fun has it been to work with
it's
him?
Like, you know, you ever see can't remember the name of the movie, Oscar and Felix, the two sports writers.
Uh-uh. It's a good one.
Movie. Is that you and Tom?
Yes, me and Tom.
Who's Oscar, who's Felix?
He drove a Cadillac and I drove a Jeep. Does that tell you?
I mean, again, would that be probably the harder part of walking away, too, is just missing that camaraderie
and
friendship,
right?
He's
going to be in my life one way or the other.
He has no choice.
Probably fallness, too, so who knows?
Neither of them have a say in the matter, I'm sure. Of course not.
No, but working with Tom is great. We've done it. We've done it for years. The first game we did together was the first game that Kerry Frazier refereed in the National Hockey League. It was back in, like, October of 1980? 81, something like that. I think it was October 1980 at the old McNichols Arena in Denver. It was the Colorado Rockies, who are now the New Jersey Devils, playing the North Stars. It was a 6-6 tie. I remember that.
Yeah. What's the best game that you have ever called in your career? Can you point to one.
Well, the ones usually you wind up winning.
That's probably a good place to start.
With the Wild, you go back to obviously that 2003 thing was something. That was really fun. Twice to come back from a 3-1 deficit. The North Stars had one where they beat the four-time defending champion Montreal Canadiens in the seventh game in the Forum, but it was one of the early rounds of the playoffs.
Sure.
Al McAdam scored with about a minute and a half to go, and the North Stars won by one goal.
That would be amazing. I mean, would you prefer to call a close game like that, or do you want...
That's what makes hockey nice, is they're all close.
That's true.
I mean, even sometimes when they're not, you're sitting there, when I was working with Alexis, it's a 4-1 game, think it's over with, and all of a sudden they score, make it 4-2, they pull the goaltender, it's 4-3. It's not quite over yet,
I know. You never know what's going to happen, right? Who's your prediction to win the Stanley Cup this season?
Colorado. But that I'm wavering a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm wavering a little bit after last night.
Are you surprised that Vegas has tied the series up
and
has made it 5-1 victory too, of all
things. I mean, based on how it started.
Yeah. Right.
That's a surprise. I haven't seen every game. I follow the scores, obviously, but I haven't had a chance to see games, a lot of games from start to finish.
Right.
The Canadian thing is very interesting. just to see how Winnipeg sweeps Edmonton and Connor McDavid doesn't get very far, and then all of a sudden Winnipeg has problems with Montreal, which stunned Toronto.
To
goaltending again.
You got that whole hot goaltender. Were you surprised at all that Minnesota didn't make it out of the first round, knowing the team that they had and kind of the success that they had this season against Vegas in the regular season?
I thought they were more competitive against Vegas than I thought they were going to be.
Because
there was a couple times, you watched the series too, there are a couple times where, if it's that even, you don't have one team dominate another one for that long of time, that many times during the course of the series.
Right. I think it was very glaring that Vegas had been in the playoffs before and had gone far versus Minnesota, who still was a very different team than that had ever made the playoffs, a different team from the bubble even.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of interesting for sure.
Well, and regardless of how the Wild season ended, they have some players up for nominations for NHL awards, which I think is pretty cool to see because we're so used to not seeing that. And now there's several. You've got Spurgeon, you've got Kaprizov, you've got Dean Evason was being talked about for Jack Adams. How cool is that to see them have such a good season and then finally get the recognition for it too? Because I think you could argue there's been seasons where, especially on the Norris Trophy side of things, we could maybe had some nominations and whatnot, but to see so much talk around this team for the first time in a long time, how cool is that?
Yeah, usually the better you do, obviously, the more the players are rewarded or the coaches are rewarded. Coaches are usually rewarded for surprising people.
Right.
So, like a guy for example, the guy at Pittsburgh will probably get no consideration at all. Barry Trotz will probably get no consideration. All those teams were expected to do well. The Wild weren't expected to do well, and Dean did a terrific job, and he's there. Spurd should be the Lady Bing winner. He'd be absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
And Kaprizov, I think, is no doubt the Rookie of the Year. You can argue how the thing is set up, but it's not, where he's actually played, in a very superior league, the KHL, for a while. But that's the way the rule is, and if that's the way the rule is, he definitely is the number one choice.
You got to follow it, right? You can't throw the rule book out like Tom Reed had suggested a few games ago, right? What was your
Tom's reading? Interesting when you hear him do the color, because it all depends on whether it's his team or the other team. And Tom did a lot of the same things that he was preaching against.
Yeah, of course, right?
He was not adverse to throwing a few cross-checks here and there.
No, probably not, right? What is it? What's your favorite part about working with Tom? Is it kind of, him?
Just the long friendship we've had. We're like two old shoes together.
Different feet?
A little marital spat or whatever you want to call it.
Exactly. And then you throw Faulness in as the stepchild.
He is the stepchild.
Yeah.
he's Tom's from a previous marriage.
Oh, I love it. So you were stuck with him. You had no say in that matter.
Faulness was here when I got here.
Yeah. So it was given that.
He came with the job, I guess.
Are you hoping that things do return to normal next season and you're not having to do the separation? Like I said, we usually get to see you up in the press box, say hi. Alexis
everybody wants the fans back and they want the noise. They want all. But, it is funny. For example, the road games.
Yeah.
You'd come out of the – for a road game, we drive from Tom's. Tom picked me up, drive down. We pull right into the building, park inside the XL Energy Center, walk down the corridor into what used to be the fishing lodge. I'm not sure what they call it now. Sit down, do the hockey game, walk right back out again. There's no crowd. There's nothing. It couldn't be any easier getting in and out.
That's true.
So that part of it was very easy. I also didn't have to travel. What'll be interesting to see is whether they start to travel radio and TV teams again.
Yeah. Do you like that aspect of the job at all, or would you prefer?
Now travel, no. I wouldn't I wouldn't like it. But I can see when you're younger, you do.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
You know, that's why you get into it partially.
Yeah.
Well, and as we look to getting to a more normal season, for how strange this last season was, what was a highlight of it for you, whether it be a certain game or just on a personal level? Was there a certain moment that stood out in this strange season?
I think the one that, as you asked the question, the first thing that pops in my mind was Kaprizov scoring the overtime game winner on opening night. It got off to a real good start that way. It was too bad the game was late and, you know, played in Los Angeles. But, I mean, it was – that's the one thing I didn't like about the year, all the late games. And a lot of times, you know, people just go to bed and you miss the stuff at the end. But Kaprizov scoring on opening night was tremendous. I mean, living right up to the hype right on opening night.
Right as advertised, I think that kind of stunned everybody. Like, okay, we can be excited about this, right? We can actually.
I mean, he is for real.
Yeah, for real, career. So, that's a new one. Yeah. That's a new one we need. You can have that one next year,
that
Bob.
Put that on a shirt.
Yeah. Final question then. What's your prediction for the Minnesota Wild as they move into next season? You got to see them all year. You kind of saw what they were. Obviously, the offseason could be a little bit tricky with expansion, with some free agents that they have to sign. But do you see this moving in the right direction and continuing to build
upon it? I see
it
moving in the right direction. I think it'll move slowly in the right direction. Sure. I think Bill is taking his time. I mean, you're not going to do it overnight. Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yeah.
And there's a reason that that's a long time cliche.
Yeah, so you take the Bill Guerin, the slow development, which I know, I'm sorry, fans, I know you want
to
see
that
Boldy.
It'll be interesting to see how Rossi comes back. It'll be interesting to see what Boldy does.
Right.
But don't expect too much too soon.
Final question, I suppose, now that I think about Zach Parise. What do you make of the situation? Do you have any insight onto that as far as do you think Zach Parise will be back in the Minnesota Wild jersey next year?
Boy, it's hard to see it, but it's hard not to see it. You know,
right.
I mean, given the contract, and you know, I mean, Zach seems to be open to moving, and it's just a matter of whether he can find a spot and they can find a spot to send him to.
Well, we'll have to wait and see. More importantly, we hope to see Bob Kurtz back with the Minnesota Wild next year.
Yeah. See what happens on opening night.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Bob, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Yeah. It was. Anytime. You can come back anytime, I promise. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, this is producer Fred. I just want to ask everyone to go out there and spread the word about Bar Down Beauties. Leave us a like, share, thumbs up, review, you name it, we want to hear from you. Find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and of course, your favorite podcast app.
We're back. Gosh, I love me some Bob. I'm so bummed that we did not get to see more of him in the press box. I know you didn't get to see him at all, unfortunately. You get to see him even more than I do, but he's just the best.
Yeah, it was tough this season not being around those guys because they are like pure entertainment. Like what everyone hears on the radio, they're just as funny in person. Like in the in-between, during commercial breaks, they're bickering about stuff and complaining.
It's the two Muppets that they're compared to, right? And I think that's a completely accurate comparison. The two old guys that sit up in the box at like the shows, right?
Yeah, that is literally them. And like I love when it gets towards the end of games and it's like a late game and they're just complaining about the drive home, and I'm like, I just love listening. They're so funny, and just their interactions with each other are hilarious. So and you know, Bob Kurtz's voice, everybody knows that. So it's fun just to hear his voice and be around him again and talk about a fun Wild season. And hopefully he didn't break the news we wanted him to break.
No,
about a potential retirement.
Finally get a breaking news.
Yeah.
Piece and we did not.
Another strike. We'll keep trying, but hopefully he's not retiring. Hopefully we can hear him again on our radio dials for another season, because it would be weird not hearing his voice bring hockey games, right? Like, it's just been like, that's the voice everybody knows.
I mean, it's true. It's, yeah, that would be very, very weird. I mean, shout out to Joe Donnell, though, with the Iowa Wild, who
he kills it.
He'll kill it if that becomes the case. So certainly, but we love Bob being able to catch up with him. Pick his brain and his expertise. I do want to note that was the fifth mention of season by Alexis in this week's episode. So
put another tally up.
Be sure to take a drink if you're playing.
What other?
The,
give
how
me a
many
synonym for season.
Year.
Give me a synonym.
Year.
Year.
Just mix it up.
Well, it's not the whole year, though. It's just a portion of the year. So how many months was it? I could.
This calendar. Is, again, our first in-person recording, and it's gone off the rails from the beginning, and we love
it. Took me, like, five tries to do the intro. It's been a struggle. It's fine.
That's just what – that's. This is the off-season content you guys want. This is what we're going to give you.
There's mid-season form, and then there's off-season form. And usually I'm in off-season form, and it is off-season now, so it makes sense. I'm allowed to be in off-season form.
Exactly. No, we, like I said, we're mixing it up a little bit. Hopefully you guys love it. We're going to have even more fun. It's going to be great. We'll still bring you fresh new content, fresh new episodes like this week. As always, shout-out to presenting sponsor SodaStick.com. Shout-out to Jim Beam, drinking a lot of those by the fire this summer. Yeah. Shout out to Better Edge, BETTOREdge.com. Use code BUTES, BAUTS, for free $10. And shout out to Tony Hoagland, State Farm Insurance. And, of course, Talk North for featuring us on their beautiful network. And to all of you guys, you are awesome. We love you. We appreciate you sticking around for the madness that will be the off season. We will bring you real hockey content when it comes.
We
calm
promise.
Down. We'll talk about Kirill Kaprizov. There, use that in the SEO because we mentioned his name. That should help us out translate
content,
that.
Baby, content.
We know how to work the game. Don't
get those
worry.
Clicks.
Yes. So hopefully you guys enjoyed it. Again, if you have any ideas of good storylines, whether they're coaches, officials, parents, that would be really fun to catch up with in the off season. We would love to do that. We also got a lot of really cool events that we will be out at, including some golf tournaments and other fun various things, maybe a couple live shows or a couple tournaments. So be sure to stay tuned to all of our social channels. And as always, subscribe, rate, give us some love on however you're listening to this. That'll do it for this week. Thanks again. Have a good day. Bye. Near, 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 near.